Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Yes, it is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And how do I know? Well, I know because I checked again today, and as I do every day, and it hasn't changed still. It's still live free or die. It is a Friday, June the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. The number that you can call this evening to join me live is toll-free number 603-835-3224. That's 603-835-3224. I heard, I know all about the Supreme Court decision as it pertains to gay marriage. Now, I told you folks that they were going to do this. It just came to mind, you know, that they were actually going to, I didn't obviously read the decision before anybody else got it. But I said, because of the way it was going, how long they were taking, some of the things that they were saying or asking, some of the questions that they were asking, so on and so forth, and who was on the, and who was on the court and things that they were saying, outside of the court, you know, the access that we've had to Supreme Court justices of late, of them doing interviews and that type of thing, is unprecedented, actually. And so without really telling us what, you know, what decisions are, how decisions are going to be made, they hint at these things. And we were being hinted at, from both sides, you know, from both sides of the debate. In the court, on the court, say, telling us that basically this was going to be the case. Now, they were going to, find in favor of gay marriage, but the question was remaining on a lot of people's tongues was how were they going to justify their case? Now, let me tell you something. What the dissenting justices said, and the reasoning behind what the winning justices said. Now, folks, this opens the door for all kinds of things. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It is going to open the door to all kinds of things. Now, it is going, because now you're talking about redefining words. And the redefining of words has just been handed down by the Supreme Court as being okay. I mean, we're talking two major decisions. First, we're talking the Obamacare subsidies decision and now the gay marriage decision. We're talking the Supreme Court is saying it is okay to redefine words however you see fit. And when you see fit to change that definition of the word, well, that changes everything. Now, let me tell you how dangerous that is. When you start changing the meanings of words, well, the Constitution no longer has any meaning. Now, Justice Roberts, surprisingly enough, he's the one that's, you know, pretty much stated that You know, how they came about this is not a celebration of the Constitution. Well, Chief Justice Roberts, you're the one that helped make the case for this type of argument in the first place when you first approved of Obamacare. And then when you upheld it, a key part of it, upheld it by not paying attention to the very law. That would have, that should have prevented this whole thing. So it's kind of interesting that he's using that argument in this particular case. But see, while doing so, he's also saying, well, sometimes you can use this type of argument, and sometimes, you know, on a whim, you don't have to, thereby changing the definition of words on a whim, thus making the Constitution pretty much null and void. I'm telling you right now, that is what this is all about. Now you have the ACLU, who used to be out there, you know, front and center and we'll get into this a little bit later, about religious rights, liberties, now backing away from it. And the reason is now that gay marriage is legal in all 50 states by a decree of the Supreme Court. Well, now everybody's going to have to be forced some way, somehow, to live and capitulate under such a rule. Now, you can't do that if there's freedom of religion. If you have a true, heartfelt religious belief, then you can opt out. But if you get rid of the religious freedom, well, now you can't opt out. You have to accept it. You have to bake that cake. You have to, you know, a Catholic priest or has to, LDS, how about that? Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses will be forced to officiate gay marriages. Islam. Can you imagine a gay marriage in an American mosque? Oh, hell, you know, you think we got jihad now. You try to force a mosque to hold and officiate a gay wedding. Oh, hell's going to break loose. But I'm telling you this, you know, the left is stupid enough to try this. Because now they have the ammunition. And they can easily redefine what religion is and what religious freedom is. They're doing all of this redefining of words, and thank you, Bill Clinton, so much. You know, now a lie is no longer a lie. It's just a degree of truth. You know, I mean, you know, well, it's not really, really a lie. There is some truth in there, Rod. Well, no, he lied. No, there's a little bit of truth to it. So he didn't really, really lie. It's not really a lie. If there's some truth to it, it's not really a lie. No, he lied. No, we're redefining the word lie. And if there's some truth to it, it can't be a lie. You know, it can't be religion if you keep out 2% of the population. If you discriminate against 5% of the population, it can't be a religion. That's not religion. That's racism and bigotry. Religion cannot uphold bigotry. Yeah, can I say something for, you know, I'm going to digress from this just a second. I have been reading over the past couple of days on the internet, everywhere, social media, that type of thing. Speaking of bigotry and racism, I have been reading and noticing, you know, people commenting on the Confederate battle flag issue and you know, this kid killing nine churchgoers, including a pastor, at a black church in South Carolina. Now, I've been listening to this stuff. I've been watching this. I've been reading, following this very quite closely, actually. Just the reaction of people. And I find it amazing that once again, there are a bunch of white people out there trying to determine and tell black people what racism is all about. You know, blacks are like, you know, hey, you know, this is what Christianity is all about. We're supposed to, you know, forgive those who trespass against us. Christ told us that. And you have white people out there telling black people who believe this that they're stupid. And that they don't understand racism then. And that this kid was a total, forget the fact that the kid had, you know, was surrounded by other ethnic backgrounds his whole life. Some of them were included in his circle of friends. No, he was still, simply because evidently he walked in there and he told the black people to leave. Well, okay, what if they left? There was nobody else in there. What was he going to do? Was he going to, you know, stand there and just shoot up the place? But we're told, well, yeah, he just wanted to start a race war. That's what he was all about. Well, I don't know how you start a race war by shooting, you know, 9 people. When there have been, you know, bigger massacres than that, no race wars have started. But again, you know, when you point this stuff out and these liberals are telling you, well, evidently, Rod, you just don't understand racism and how institutionalized it is. I mean, excuse me? See, here's the problem. You liberals are so racist and so bigoted that you don't even realize that you're the racist ones. Because you're out there telling us that you know, well, hey, you know, nothing has changed since Selma. Like, are you kidding me? We have more interracial couples today than ever before. You know, the Census Bureau tells us about all the interracial, multiracial children that have been born, that it is now a significant portion of our population that can no longer be, you know, well, not, they're defined as other, I guess, multiracial. So, and we've elected non-white people, officials, to various levels of governmental office freely. Over the past 20 years, and a number of them, including to be president of the president of the United States, we have elected these people. But yet, we still have some white people out there telling us that, well, yeah, you know, we're still a racist nation. We're still divided along racial lines. How is that? Are you the one who's doing that? Are you the one who's perpetuating this, you know, false narrative on race issues? Yes, you are. But yet, when I point this out, you want to tell me I don't understand racism. And I find it very interesting that you have white people out there telling black people and other brown people that they don't understand racism. Now, if they were to say, well, we don't understand racism against white people, okay, I might buy that argument, but that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is that me being a black and being part Cherokee, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about when it comes to racism and bigotry. I've been told this, folks. I'm you know, it's you can't help but wonder where their minds are at when they utter such total and complete nonsense. Well, Rod, if you just don't see the racism that's still there, man, we're still a racist nation, then you just don't understand racism. You do know that I'm black, right? Well, that's irrelevant. You should know then. Well, no, it's not irrelevant because you're talking about racism towards black people. And that would mean I would be on the receiving end of such racism. So I think I would fully understand it because I would and have experienced it, correct? Well, yeah, but you've probably never experienced, and I love that. You've probably never experienced it. That's why you don't understand. How would they know? Yeah, no, of course I've experienced it. I'm flabbergasted as to wonder how they could possibly know that I would not have experienced it. That I lived such a sheltered life. Yeah, you know, that I would never, ever encounter, that I have never, ever encountered race. I've never been stopped by a cop, according to some people. Oh, you don't know what it's like to be pulled over by the police. Really? Oh, okay. As if I've never been pulled over before. But you don't know what it's like, you know, to have police question you because they think that you're a criminal. Really? I haven't. Okay. You don't know what it's like to have somebody not like you because of the color of your skin. Look, these are things that people, white people have told me. White liberals have told me. I wish I could make this stuff up, but I'm not. So this whole notion is that what they're doing is they're trying to redefine our society, the words that define our society. And by redefining the words that define our society, they can redefine our society. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I mean, this goes from the White House on down, folks. I mean, we've changed the definition of recession. You know, technically, we haven't recovered from a recession, but this is the new normal now. This is what we're supposed to expect. You know, things have gotten so bad that even the ACLU now has turned on their heels and just decided, well, you know, we're not going to, you know, be for the we're not going to be for the Freedom of Religion Act anymore, because it's not really, we're not really, what we were doing before wasn't really defending religion, because this is what religion is. So they're redefining religion as they have just redefined marriage. So everybody thinks this is all about, well, it's all about getting the benefits in everything that a married couple can have, right? No, it's not. Because if that were the case, if it were only about, equal benefit rights, then you wouldn't get what you have now. Because, you know, there are many benefits. You could just demand that people have get the same benefits, but it's not about that. I mean, now, you have people, you have people that walk into a bakery, a Christian bakery, and say, we want you to bake us a gay marriage wedding cake. The Christian baker says no. Well, now all of a sudden, the baker is, you know, infringing on this gay couple's rights. But you don't hear a complaint about an Islamist walking into a Christian bakery and said, bake me a cake for Islam. Why? Because they know better. Just as a Christian isn't going to walk into an Islamic bakery, Islamic owned and run bakery, and say, you know, we're going to have a Christian wedding, bake me a cake. It doesn't have. So if nobody else is going to do that, why is it that gays are doing it? Because it isn't about marriage, folks. It's not about marriage at all. It never has been. Because there are so many ways and so many things that we could have done. You know, civil unions would have been just as equal if we had decided to go that route. But no, they wanted to change the definition of the meaning of the word marriage. And now that they have success, it is a huge win to be able to successfully do that, because now all other major words that define our society can now be redefined as whomever sees fit. I know some people are thinking, well, Rod, this is, you got to be out of your mind if you're thinking that's the way it works. That is the way it works now. Look around. People are using the N-word. It is to the point where now I have I have heard white people tell black people they can use the N-word in a loving tone. I mean, are you kidding me? You have white people telling black people that the N-word no longer means what they say it meant, means, and that it's now a term of endearment, and they can use it anytime, anywhere, on whoever they want. And if black people say, well, no, you can't use that word and call me that, they're like, yes, we can. So now they're telling us. But we're the ones with the problem. You know, I guess we don't know what the N-word means anymore. So we're being told because they've decided that they're redefining the meaning of it. Well, if that's the case, why don't they just redefine the meaning of the Confederate battle flag? Why don't they redefine that? You know, oh, well, they have, because now it just means nothing but racism. It's the battle flag for racists. You know, and every racist wraps themselves in the Confederate battle flag and walks into a church and shoots people. So we have to get rid of that symbol. I mean, you can't even... I was reading today that there's even some Confederate museums that want to get rid of that symbol. You're a museum. You're a Confederate museum. How do you get rid of the symbol of what you're the museum for? Well, maybe they want to shut down the museum totally, I guess. I don't know. I don't, you know, if the Confederate battle flag is going to be offensive to me, if that's offensive to me, I'm not going to go to a Confederate historical museum then, because I'm going to be offended everywhere I look. None of this has any basis in logic whatsoever. And yet we don't have a bunch of Republicans or conservatives, we don't have enough of them, with a battle plan to fight this kind of nonsense. We don't have many people standing up and saying, hold it, stop it, this is, you've gone too far. You know, this is crazy, this is ludicrous, and I'm not talking rapper. This is ludicrous. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe the word ludicrous no longer means, you know, stupid, inane, and crazy, but it only means rapper. And, you know, rapper doesn't mean the rapper around a candy bar, but, you know, the person who speaks their lyrics in hip-hop music. So we have all of these... You know, you can't have a stable society that is going to be that is able to redefine the meaning of major words that the society is based on. You cannot have a stable society if you're capable of doing that, changing those meanings of those words on a whim. Your society will fall and crumble. You will be subjected and to anything. And if you think I'm crazy, I'm telling you right now, now that the gays have their marriage... And don't get me wrong, I have no, you know, I have no problem with who people want to love. And frankly, neither does the Bible. It doesn't talk about it at all. It just talks about the act, the sexual act, actually. But you can't have, you know, I'll have to finish this on the other side. We'll be right back, folks.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war. As they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up. With no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
You know, you can't continue to redefine words. Welcome back, folks. This is your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live still. The number here is 603-835-3224. Look, you can't continue to change the meaning of words. Now, let me be clear about something here. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I mean, if you're gay, if you're bisexual, if you're transgender, what have you, fine. Nothing wrong with it. Well, I mean, some people might find a lot wrong with it, but in my book, there's nothing wrong with it. You're just being human. We're not all subscribing to the same, moral code of ethics. I get it. But that does not give you the right to redefine a term that has been historically accepted for centuries as to what it means, just so you can feel good about yourself. And that's what this is, partly what it's about. And just so you can force others into accepting you. You can't force people to do anything. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, and they will find any way and every way to not have to deal with you. And plain and simple. You know, George Takei is out there saying, yeah, you know, talking about religious freedom and religious beliefs, you can have them. He says you can have them all you like, and that he has his own religious beliefs too, but you can't impose your religious values onto others. Now, but however, what he's failing to realize is by telling other people that they can't impose their true heartfelt religious beliefs on them by denying baking them a gay cake, is indeed imposing your own will and belief upon them. You know, they're not imposing anything on you by saying, you know, we're not going to bake you a cake. Look, this is what's going to happen. People are going to figure a way around this stuff. Oh, you can say, well, they can't deny it. You can't deny me a cake. And, you know, all the baker has to, a smart baker will say, you know what? We are really backed up. The earliest we can get you this cake, it looks like it's going to be after your nuptials. You know, all these people came before you and got in line. So we just don't have the time to make you a cake. They don't even, that is really where all this is going. You're going to start seeing more and more businesses start taking what they call advanced orders. And if, you know, kind of, hey, it's the same thing, you know, with a lot of reception halls. You know, when you want to have the after the wedding reception, a lot of, depending on where you want to go, you have to book that thing sometimes, you know, 12 months, 18 months in advance because they're that booked out. So, you know, a lot of Christian businesses are going to start taking this type of leap and saying, well, you know, when's the wedding? Well, we need to have it by this day. Oh, no. Sorry, you know, the nearest day that we have is 2.5 months after that. We just don't have the time. Now, you cannot sue somebody for being too busy. It means that, hey, other people know this, and they've come in and given their enough advance notice to get theirs in. So you don't get to make new rules, and even with that, they're still going to try. But I'm telling you, you just start. You know, you start. Even if you have to be a Christian business and you have to limit how much you earn, which is sad to say, but if you're going to protect your own religious beliefs, you're going to have to start, you know, gerrymandering the system. And you're going to have to start saying, well, you know, we can only do 5 cakes a day. Maybe you can do 20, but you're going to have to start saying, you know, we're so good, we can only do 5 cakes a day. This takes so much time. And then you just have to start booking out. And so when that gay person comes in and says, bake me a cake, you can say, well, you can honestly say, we just don't have the time. You're not denying them based on your religious beliefs. You're denying them based on business practices, and you just don't have the capacity to fulfill their request within their time frame. You can fulfill their request on your time frame, but not theirs. And there is no way in hell that any judge, even a liberal judge, is going to force somebody to capitulate onto somebody else's time frame. The business isn't capable of meeting that time frame. There's no way that a judge can order them to invest in infrastructure in their business in order to meet a time deadline that fits the gay people. At least not in this right now. Even the most liberal of judges is going to say that's we can't do that. That's not possible. You'll put them out of business. You know, if they were to come to you and say that they weren't baking you a gay cake because, you know, it's against their religion, well, then we could do something. But since they didn't say that, but they said that, you know, they just don't have the capacity to fit you in that time frame, but they can fit you in, then you're going to have to adjust. And if you can't adjust, find somebody else. I think that's how we're going to have to start fighting for our freedom. For our freedom of association. You have the right to, you know, look, if somebody doesn't want to associate with me because of the color of my skin, they have every right to do so. And I am going to honor that because I don't want to be around them. I am not going to walk into a KKK bakery and tell them to bake me a cake. How asinine is that? When you can get them in trouble. What do you mean get them in trouble? For what? What is the end game? They're still going to believe that I'm inferior to them. You can force a gay, a quote unquote gay bashing baker out of business. They're still going to believe what they believe. And you've probably just created a real enemy. Where before they just would have said, you know, we're just not going to bake a cake, but we're not going to be out there, you know, trumpeting against you. But since you forced me out of business, now I got time to actually go after you. I mean, really, that's what it's all about. Now, you can't change the meaning of words, not on a whim. Because if you're going to do that, then at some point, somebody's going to change the meaning to change it to something that you don't like. And then you're gonna be, you know, scratching your head and wonder, well, how did that happen? Well, it happened the same way that you did it. You know, I don't see anybody running around. Speaking of the N word, I don't see anybody running around calling white people, you know, cracker. You know, and meaning it in an affectionate manner or honky. Hey, cracker. That's my cracker. Can you imagine? But you know what? I guess blacks aren't allowed to do that. We're not allowed to change the meaning of words like that. No, I can say cracker. Because, you know, it just means that I like them. Why not? You know, if the N word is good enough for, you know, us. You know, if it's okay for a white person to say, you know, to roll up on me and say, hey, my nit. Why can't I roll up on them and say, hey, my cracker? Why not? Hey, my honky. I mean, seriously. I want you to seriously think about that. You know, you leftists out there who are listening to the show, and I know you guys listen to the show. I want you to sit for once in your life, seriously think about this stuff before you start flying off the touchy-feely handle. Seriously think about it. Now, I know that there are some of you out there who will probably say, well, you know, if somebody wants to call me a honky, that's okay. If they don't mean it in a mean way or they're not being mean-spirited, I guess it could be okay. Well, it shouldn't be okay. But so there are a few of you real leftist radicals out there who will say that. But the majority of you will probably say, no. No, you're not. Well, you know, hey, I guess we've already defined the word cracker because now we got, you know, we have the musician Uncle Cracker, right? Yeah, he's a white guy. So why not? You know, the very notion that they're trying to redefine terms really shows you just how bad their position is, how weak their position is, how weak their argument is, that nobody, very few people will follow their argument and be on their side in the argument. So they have to change the meaning of stuff in order to win converts. So if religion no longer means, you know, something based on faith, but rather something that is based on the human condition, well, that's something totally different now. So in other words, if you switch Catholicism from being based on faith, faith in the Word, faith in the Bible, to being that based on the human condition. Oh, well, humans change, you know, from century to century, from decade to decade, and now it's quite all right for homosexuality to be okay. Well, then that means that the Catholic Church would have to change on a whim. Well, that's not religion, but that's what they're trying to redefine it as. So as to not to upset anyone, or to impose your belief on anyone. Forget the fact that they're imposing their belief on you. But that's what it is. So the landmark Supreme Court decision, you had Justice Roberts out there. You had Justice Roberts. Well, it was a 5-4 split decision, and Justice Anthony Kennedy was the swing vote in this, and he wrote the majority opinion. And he said, "No union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. In forming a marital union, two people become something greater than once they were. As some of the petitioners in these cases demonstrate, marriage embodies a love that may endure even past death." Now, it would misunderstand these men and women to say they disrespect the idea of marriage. Their plea is that they do respect it so deeply that they seek to find its fulfillment for themselves. Their hope is not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know where the Constitution grants anybody the right to be married. Well, yeah, I suppose that, you know, the clause of pursuit of happiness. But, you know, I have often argued, well, you know, the pursuit of happiness could be utilized and used in a number of different areas that government says that we don't have a right. Driving, for instance, the way our society has now been developed and the way it is built and the way governments build our cities and towns and rural areas, you have to have a car in order to be able to pursue your happiness because you've been restricted in many areas from riding a horse or a carriage. You just can't do it. So that means you have to have a vehicle or you have to walk. And sometimes walking is not plausible or possible. So you need a vehicle because that is the way the governments have built our society. So therefore, you need a car in order to pursue your happiness. Oh, no, but driving is a privilege. And who determined that? Oh, the government did. So now the government is determining what the Constitution says as far as marriage, which it really says nothing, but they're determining that the Constitution grants you the right to be married. Just so you know. Supreme Court just now said you have a constitutional right to be married. Now think about it for a second. You're probably thinking, oh, okay, well, that's not so bad. Well, now you have a constitutional right to pursue your happiness to be not to be lonely, and not to be excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. You have a right to be married under the Constitution, which means you have a right to marry your horse, your dog, your pig, your cat, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your uncle, your first cousin. You have a right to marry more than one under the Constitution, according to Justice Anthony Kennedy. You have a right to be married to a child. I'm sure that, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, also known as NAMBLA, is looking at this decision very closely and saying, well, you know, if a 16-year-old boy wants to go out with a 30 or 40-year-old man, that should be all right then. And if he can get certain legal consultation, they can be married then. After all, if a 16-year-old straight kid can marry a 16-year-old straight girl, why can't a 16-year-old straight a gay boy marry a 40-year-old gay man? It's all right. You know, all those teachers who are banging their students in high school, oh, that's all right. Because, you know, the way Justice Kennedy puts it, there should be hope that they're not condemned to live a life of loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. They're only asking for equal dignity in the eyes of the law, and the Constitution grants them that equal dignity. Do you see where this is going to go? Not possibly going to go, or could go, but do you see where this is going to go? This is the direction that it is going to go. They have opened the Pandora's box. And let me tell you something, half of them, of the Supreme Court justices, are not going to be alive in about 10 or 15 years to have to deal with this mess. Not because somebody's going to kill them, it's just because they're old already. They're just going to die from natural causes. They're not going to be around to have to deal with this. The rest of us, you know, many of us are still going to be here. We're going to have to live with all of this crap. And then you're going to start seeing more and more and more government laws and intrusion into your life, into your church, into your Bible, into your beliefs that are going to force you to change your belief system, at least in the public. And it may even get to the point where you can't even have a dissent in your own home. Don't doubt me on this, folks. Do not doubt me. This is not a decision that should that even the gay community should be applauding and jumping up and down for joy, because I can tell you right now that the majority of gays who are for gay marriage are not for all this other alternative lifestyle stuff. They're not. And this ruling is going to be used against them, because they're going to find themselves on the receiving, because, as you know, the straight world, Christians and Jews were on the receiving end of the so-called bigotness and hatred accusations from the LGBT community. Well, now they're going to be included in that. And they're not going to like it. And you know what? When they try to fight back, they're just going to get slapped in the face. Well, hey, you guys got it. You guys got your rights protected. You guys got your rights. What about my rights? I want to be able to be married to my horse. I want to be able to marry my 16-year-old boyfriend. But you're a 50-year-old man, so we're in love. You know, I'm just saying this is where it's going to go. There is no if, ands, or buts about it. And it is going to be, it's going to be such a way that done in such a way that many people are going to feel, when in the hell did that take place? And we're going to look back to this day and say, this was not the starting point, but the leaping point. You know, we had been crawling and walking to this point for a very long time, but once we got to this point, we leaped far ahead into areas that we did not really intend or want to go. But just as Kennedy's words are going to come back to haunt the left, their hope is not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. They ask for equal dignity in the eyes of the law. The Constitution grants them that right. In other words, the Constitution grants them equal dignity in the eyes of the law. Now, I don't know where the Constitution really says anything about dignity. Now, when all Americans are treated as equal, we're all more free, is how President Obama responded to the news. Well, we're not all treated as equal. We're not. Now those who have strong religious beliefs, unless maybe you're Islamic, will be targeted. You will not be free to be, in your beliefs. But if you're Islamic, you might get away with it because, you know, hey, they're a special group. They're special. And people think that Obama's views have evolved over time. I don't think his views have really evolved. I think he's always had these sort of views. He's just moderated them in order to be elected where he was trying to be elected. Hey, well, unless, of course, he really is a Muslim, in which case, and then he's really at odds with himself right now. And that's not unplausible for him to be at odds with himself. Chief Justice Roberts decried the Supreme Court's decision to legalize gay marriage in a dissent that said the majority opinion had ignored the Constitution. Now, he says, celebrate the achievement of a desired goal, celebrate the opportunity for a new expression of commitment to a partner, celebrate the availability of new benefits, but do not celebrate the Constitution. It has nothing to do with it. And indeed, he is absolutely correct in that matter. He argued that the biggest problem with the court's decision is the disrespect it shows for the democratic process. He and other conservative justices said the issue of whether states should recognize gay marriage should be left to the states. But, you know, you can go ahead and do things to keep Obamacare around instead of putting that in the hands of the state. But gay marriage should definitely be left in the hands of the state. Yes? Well, that according to Justice Roberts. Stupid is as stupid does, I guess. In this particular case, it really is stupid.